gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. We know that the gospel overcomes.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Got a question for you, Christy.
What's the question?
Can the state be transformed?
Depends on what you mean by that.
Ah, good answer. Can the state be redeemed? In time, now, I'm not talking about in eternity, I'm talking about now.
The state?
The state.
I don't know that entities that aren't humans can be redeemed.
Ah, well, that's a good answer. Let me give you an illustration of what I mean by that is, can art, you know, be redeemed? What I mean by that, can it be used for God-glorifying purposes? Could you transform the art world, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so can you transform the state? Now, before you answer, I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Okay.
I don't know what you would say. Thank you. See, I hope that's provocative because we want folk to listen.
Okay.
Now, obviously, this is an important question, whether our listeners realize it yet or not, so don't tune us out. But we do need to make a distinction between the state and government.
Okay.
And most people don't make that distinction because they don't necessarily have time to sit around and read political philosophy like I do. Not that I'm an expert on that. I'm not.
Right. I think most people would say the state can be redeemed.
I think they would. I think they would, and that's the whole reason they're so passionate about politics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some say, well, aren't you passionate about politics? Well, part of that is a holdover from my pre-redeemed state. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is I'm not so passionate about politics as I am two things. Number one, politics to me is a form of entertainment right now.
Right.
And I've said that, and I need to explain that, and I want people to dismiss me because I say that. But that's essentially what it is to me right now because, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll come back to it later.
Okay.
But I'm also interested in Christian influence on the state. And you say, well, wait a minute. If it can't be redeemed, then what are you talking about? Well, let's get to that as well. Okay?
All right.
But it's important that we think this through. Because, and it's not just an academic exercise either, because I know a lot of people, you know, listen, if you don't think right, you mess up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's true in every area of life. So there is a difference between the state and government. And I could quote a number of folk, but let me give you a quote from C.J. Engel, who's quoting Murray Rothbard. But basically the state, according to Rothbard, the organization of robbery, the organization of robbery systematized and writ large. Wow. Now we got to come back and prove that. But government is different, okay? That's the state.
Mm-hmm.
But government is different. Government, all societies have a government in some sense. All communities have something that plays the role of governance. Like we live in a neighborhood and we have a homeowners association. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the state.
But it's a form of government.
But it's a form of government.
And
that's
churches
right.
have yes. church government.
Yes, you're with me. Even if you lived in an anarchist society, an anarcho-capitalist society, and by the way, a lot of people when they hear the term anarchism or anarchy, they think chaos, no rules. Well, I guess in the popular, you know, popular parlance, popular way of looking at it, that's what it means. But that's not the political philosophy of anarchy. The political philosophy of anarchy says no state, but there are rules and there is governance.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, what? Well, just by way of example, you might have private contracts, private security companies, or people agree to, you know, have this kind of government in this area, mm-hmm. like a homeowners association. So, but it doesn't mean chaos or no rules. So, but what I'm saying is, even in an anarcho-capitalist society, free market society, a totally free market society, you'd still have rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. So again, making a distinction between the state and government. Albert J. Nock, and I recommend this book. I read it a number of years ago. He wrote a book entitled Our Enemy, the State. And in the book, among other things, he explains, and I'm quoting now from Engel, but in the book, he explains the antisocial, predatory nature of the state and draws a sharp distinction between government as voluntarily acknowledged authority. So a difference between the state, which is, again, what? Organized theft. It's predatory. But government is a voluntarily acknowledged authority.
Okay, you're going to have to explain the state being the organized robbery. I'm not tracking with you.
Okay, well, let me give you an example. And let me give you an example that would be semi-controversial.
Okay.
This is just off the top of my head. Number of years ago, and I can't remember where, it's off the top of my head, but there was a tsunami, and it obliterated, you know, like an island nation, you know, I don't mm-hmm. know, out in the Atlantic somewhere. And President Bush was in office at the time, and he sent millions of dollars of aid to help the people out
mm-hmm.
Down there. And I can remember, you know, during those days, I was doing a show called Calling for Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an hour-long show every day, and that's beside the point. But anyway, I don't know what we were talking about. Somebody asked me a question, well, do you support, you know, President Bush giving aid to those folk in this, you know, what do you call it, a natural disaster?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, of course. And he challenged me on that. And you know, I think the average Christian would say, well, what in the world would he challenge you on that for? Well, here's my question. Why do you think I said, of course? Do you agree or disagree with my answer?
I think he said, of course, because you want to help people.
Exactly. Right? I'm a Christian.
Right.
These people are in trouble. We're going to help them.
That's obvious.
And I still believe that.
Right.
And I would give money. But see, here's the deal. The U.S. government has no right to send money down there. Where does the U.S. government get their money from?
The people.
The people. They take it from the people. And so they've decided that they're going to send aid down there, which Christians,
right.
Well, that's a good thing. Yeah, but you're violating a principle here. You're stealing from me to give to them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. I need to give voluntarily. Now, I say it's a controversial example because, well, that doesn't sound predatory. Well, because you're helping people. Well, you preyed on U.S. Mm-hmm. citizens. And so by predatory, I mean the state must, and everything it does is about getting more power to itself. You take what's going on in our country right now. We're being attacked by terrorists here and there, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what do they want to do? Well, they want to be able to spy on all American citizens, take away our liberty. And there's a debate within the Republican Party of whether or not that's a good thing. But see, this is the state taking more power unto itself. What is President Obama? Gun control. What is that? That's taking power. It's predatory. Mm-hmm. See, he needs to see the government. Good government preserves our freedom, but the state is predatory. Takes power away from the people and arrogates it to itself. Does that make sense? That's what I mean by predatory. High taxes.
Look,
everybody's
but
talking
how,
about the, well, hang
how
on. Everybody's talking about the economy right now.
Right.
And the manipulation. We just went up 0.25% on the interest rate. And you know, here's Janet Yellen lying to the American people. She said, well, we're going up on the interest rate because the economy is really good. Well, the economy's not really good. It's being propped up by near 0% interest rates, and there is a catastrophe coming. Anyway.
Okay.
I'm just saying, they're predatory.
Okay.
Go ahead. Did I interrupt you?
I think you need to define the state better.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't
know. In contrast with the government.
Well, I'm not talking about the government. If you use the term the government, like the United States
government.
Then that
is the state?
Yeah, that's the state.
Okay.
I'm talking about the difference between state power and voluntary recognized authority that's not exerting power to itself, but is ensuring what we've all agreed to. For example, a homeowners association. I just bring that up. And again, this is off the top of my head because I wasn't going to get into all this, but you asked a question, I'm happy to answer it. So I think in a homeowners association, well, what do they do, at least in our neighborhood? Okay, well, you know, let's say you've got some tennis courts in your neighborhood and you've got a planter in your neighborhood. And we all agree to maintain the tennis courts. You know, we all agree to keep the planter looking nice, and so we all agree to pay some dues. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
The homeowners association doesn't sit around saying, okay, now what else can we do for the neighborhood? And we're going to tax the people in the neighborhood to do this because we think it's a good thing. And, we're going to, all this stuff.
That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So there's governance, in a sense. And that might not be the best example, but at least it makes sense to you. So the point here is that government works with society, like the Homeowners Association working with the homeowners. The state works against society. Yeah, see, you said it before I said it.
Right.
Very good. We could say that the government has a, and I'm borrowing from Engle here, the government has a role in society, but the state is an institution that forces itself upon the people. I mean, every legislation that's passed, that's force. How much legislation has been forced upon us that you didn't even know about, let alone vote for?
Probably a lot. See, I don't even know about it.
You don't even know. Oh, boy.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. See, what the state does, it takes up the role of government as part of its activity. So all states govern, but not all governments are states.
Right.
Okay. So that's, government versus state power. And see, the state wants us to bow down to it. The state wants our allegiance. The state wants us to worship it in a very real sense. The state wants us to serve it, whereas government serves the people. You see the difference? Massive difference. And so what we want to do is understand that the state wants us to serve it rather when it ought to serve us. And we need to think about, okay, well, can this thing then be transformed? Can this thing be redeemed? Right? Can it be saved, as it were? Not in a spiritual sense, but can it be used for God-glorifying good purposes in a Christian sense? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're going to do after the break is turn to H. Richard Niebuhr, theologian that a lot of folk haven't heard of these, long time ago now. Well, when I say long time ago, 20th century. But we're going to talk to his class at work, Christ and Culture, for just a couple of minutes, and then we're going to ask some questions and answer them. Okay?
All right.
Stay tuned. You're listening to The Dean's List. It may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve
somebody. We often think that small animals which lack sharp teeth and claws are helpless and defenseless. But some of God's little creatures use chemical warfare to quickly put their enemies to flight. Get your gas mask and tune in this week to Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal.
Science, Scripture, and Salvation is heard every Saturday morning at 7:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace,
goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
This is Christian Talk 660.
It's Christmas, and we're all in misery.
Irritable attitudes abound during the holidays.
And it could rub off on you.
But if you make us your holiday station, we promise to keep it bright, positive, and festive.
We're your radio home for the holidays.
You're locked into Christian Talk 660.
Hey, the question is, who are you going to serve? Is it going to be the devil? Is it going to be the Lord? You're going to serve somebody. Is it going to be the state? By the way, did you know the Bible says that the devil is behind the state?
Really?
It really does.
Where does it say that?
Revelation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The beast is the state.
Right.
It's the Roman state. It's Caesar.
Right.
And who's behind the beast? Where does the beast get his power? From the?
The devil.
The devil. What, but what's he referred to in Revelation? The dragon.
Oh, yeah, the dragon.
But that's who it is. And he tells us specifically. Yeah, see, and this is and I'm not going to go down this road. Don't have time.
This is why theology is important.
That's exactly right. And that's why it's important to understand Revelation, the Bible. Mm. And, you know, this is where I think most Christians have a wrong view of the state.
Because we're too lazy.
Well, they read Romans 13 on a surface level.
Right.
And they think Romans 13 says the state is good. That's not what Romans 13 says. Romans 13 says the state is for our spiritual good.
Like
our
Romans
sanctification, yeah. But it's not good. It's behind the state is the dragon.
Mm.
Just read your Bible. This is why I'm against the state, by the way. It's not because I'm just some kind of radical libertarian.
Which you are.
Well, yeah. As radical as Jesus, baby. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. Let's talk about H. Richard Niebuhr.
Okay.
Niebuhr. Not Bieber.
No.
But Niebuhr. Christ and culture. Now, you studied this. You took some theology, right?
A little bit. I'm familiar with the terms.
Well, every theology student has to have come up against Niebuhr at some point. Christ and culture. And we're not going to get bogged down here, but he basically, and this is where all this discussion of the Christian's relationship to culture comes from. I mean,
right.
Not necessarily comes from, but if you're going to talk about that, you got to at least post Niebuhr. You got to deal with Niebuhr.
Mm-hmm.
But he talks about, five approaches or five ways, I guess, that, certain theological traditions would look at Christ, would look at the Christian's relationship to culture.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls the first one Christ against culture.
Mm-hmm.
You want to summarize that for us or not really?
This is where you're opposed to the culture.
Yeah.
Culture is bad.
It's all bad. You need to just stay away from it. We don't play cards.
Mm-hmm.
We don't listen to rock and roll. You don't play Bob Dylan during the break.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
Right.
And, and I'm not, being ugly, but it's just, they would look at things like my laptop is basically evil.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those who hold that position, they may not use a laptop for whatever the reason. Some are going to be a little bit more against it than others, but nevertheless, TV, evil.
Right.
I had a guy tell me one time, internet, evil. Don't touch it.
Mm.
He's like Donald Trump, let's shut down the internet thing. Okay, then.
Okay.
Oh, that's Christ against culture. Opposition would be a good word, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Christ of culture.
This would be more agreeing with culture?
Yes. Yes. More or less, culture in some sense takes priority over Christ.
Right.
We say, Christ, we're not Gnostics, Christ is flesh and blood as well as spirit, and, Christ puts us here in this culture, and, culture's great.
Mm.
We're just going to go along with it. And again, there are varying degrees on the scale, but it would be agreement with culture, all right?
Right, a lot of times
go ahead.
Culture will shape your definition of Christ.
Absolutely. That's it. I'm glad you said that because that's all important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Which is not biblical, by the way.
Of course not. Yeah, of course not. Well, it's like the old debate in the Southern Baptist Convention years ago, when we had the inerrancy controversy and the conservative resurgence and, in the Baptist Faith and Message, which is their statement of faith, when it came to Scripture, I'm trying to think. I don't want to get off track here, but said something to the effect that all Scripture is to be interpreted by Jesus Christ, or all Scripture is anyway. But that sounds great, but that's backwards. That's like a neo-orthodox view of Scripture and the Lord Jesus. Mm. Basically, in that realm, this is how liberals and conservatives were able to coexist in the Southern Baptist Convention, and why you had to have a conservative insurgent, because basically you get your idea of Jesus, whatever that might be, and then you impose it on the Scriptures.
Right.
Oh, that's what it was. All Scripture must be interpreted in light of Jesus Christ. Mm. Doesn't that sound great?
Right.
But see, that's a false.
So then
what
do you think of Jesus Christ? And
well,
then that depends on how you interpret it.
Yeah, see, that's idolatry. It's you getting your view of Jesus and then twisting the Scriptures to line up with your view. Whereas the New Baptist Faith and Message says something different. I don't know exactly what it says, but it says something to the effect that we get our view of Jesus from the Scriptures.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, good.
All right.
You know what we're talking about.
Moving on.
Yeah, number three, Christ above culture. I think this is sort of a... Maybe the Lutheran position, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not mistaken. This is sort of the Lutheran position. Look, no one group is all in one or the other, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's not, just one group that holds, this, that, or the other. But a lot of Lutherans. But Christ above culture. And I'm not criticizing Lutherans either. I'm just saying. This is sort of... Actually, a lot of Lutherans, now that I think about it, have come... this is not the Lutheran view. This is the opposite of the Lutheran view. Forgive me.
So you were correct and then not correct, and now you're realizing you are not correct.
Yeah, and I'm not flip-flopping. I'm correcting.
Okay.
Lutherans are all about, at least conservative Lutherans, they're all about, how shall I say it, probably... Christ and culture, the next one. Let's deal with the next one. Christ and culture and paradox. This tension between Christians and culture, culture can be good and we need to be involved in culture. But obviously we don't want to dishonor the Lord either. And so our view of culture and what we do in culture is translated through the lens of Scripture, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Translated through Christ. Okay.
Well, that sounds good.
Oh yeah, of course it does. But you know what? There's a sense in which Christ against culture sounds good, at least with reference to certain things.
Right.
But not totally. Christ of culture doesn't sound good because it's like you said, it's the culture defining Christ. Christ and culture and paradox, that sounds better, though, than both of them. And I agree.
And then Christ above culture, which we skipped.
Well, that's like compartmentalization. That's what a lot of folk do, the distinction between the secular and the sacred.
Okay.
See, Lutherans don't do that. A lot of Baptists do. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they got their religion on Sunday, and they're really good about that.
Right.
But then, the rest of the week, they're all about the culture. And
they
may not be out there in their minds overtly sinning.
You know,
they're not out there getting drunk, but they don't think about Jesus till Sunday.
Right, and I think this group would be the kind of people that would maybe ask artists, why are you being an artist? Why aren't you doing something that's actually relevant to the kingdom?
Yes. And see, so there's an element of that Christ against. They're not saying art is sinful, though. See, Christ against is art is sinful.
They view Christ above as above art and cultural things.
Yes.
Oh, I'm a Christian. I need to be doing all these high and lofty things.
Yes. Yes. Better to be a preacher than an accountant.
Right. That's
accountant,
also not biblical.
Right. Accountants are not sinning, but okay, if you don't want to be a preacher. You know, if you're a real committed Christian, you'd be a preacher.
You'd be a missionary.
Yeah. And see, that's, again, not biblical.
Right.
But that's the Christ above culture. And then the last one would be Christ the transformer of culture.
Mm.
So this, Christ can redeem culture. Christ can change culture. Christ can make art his own. He can make accounting his own, that kind of thing. It's the reformation of culture. It's good culture.
Right.
And again... This sounds good as well,
mm-hmm.
right? The whole Christ and culture paradox, Christ the transformation. Number four, number five sound a lot better than the one, two, and three.
Right.
Right? Okay.
So then the issue is, can the state be redeemed? If Christ is the redeemer of culture,
yes.
Is the state one of those things?
Yeah. good question. Huh?
Yeah.
Now, let's affirm something. In answering that question, let's affirm something.
Okay.
We have a song. Dustin Meadows wrote it.
Yeah.
Dustin Meadows sings it.
Yeah.
We play it as our intro, as our outro. Sometimes we play it right in the middle just for fun.
Yeah.
It's called what?
The Gospel Overcomes.
Yes. Now, there's one reason we play that.
Because it's awesome.
It's awesome and it's true. That's why it's awesome.
Yeah.
Gospel overcomes. That's what Revelation says, if you want to talk about Revelation a little bit more.
Mm.
And we overcome by the gospel. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So the gospel can overcome culture. And so it overcomes everything. So the question is, does the gospel transform culture?
Yes.
Yes. And see, by the way, this is where all of this, you know, R2K versus transformationalism comes from.
Right.
You know, the radical two-kingdom mm-hmm. theology. No, we just need to be focused on the gospel.
Right.
Or it's transformational. No, the gospel overcomes, transforms culture. Culture can be transformed for Christ. All right, well, but you've already answered the question. And again, by the way, I haven't given you my position on R2K versus transformationalism yet. But we're on the way. We got to get there. Does the gospel transform culture? Yes. How?
Through the gospel.
Through the gospel. That's it. And again, you think, well, that sounds, you know, easy enough, but that's not where everybody's
right
at.
Because when you preach the gospel, people's lives are changed, and when people's lives are changed, the culture changes.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, you've made that point, and we're going to hurry.
Okay,
are there some institutions though that the gospel cannot transform?
Yeah, I would say yes.
Say, but a lot of people say, well, no, gospel overcomes. You contradicted yourself.
But
why are you not contradicting yourself?
Because some things are evil.
Ah.
You can't redeem a strip club.
Correct. You can redeem strippers.
But not the strip club.
Yeah, but if they get redeemed, they got to come out of the strip. There's right. no such thing as a Christian strip club.
Right.
Brothel. No such thing as a Christian brothel.
No, that needs to be left. That is where we need to be against that. That's where Christ against culture comes
yes!
in.
Yes! Now, what about the state?
Well, I have a feeling you're going to say the state is evil.
State is evil by nature. Cannot be redeemed. Cannot be transformed.
So what do we do?
You see what I'm saying? Well, see, a lot of Christians, they say, we get the right guy elected, we're going to turn this country around. No. You got to change hearts. You got to change minds. You got to change ideas. You got to deal with the state. The state can't be transformed. Now, what we need is voluntary, you know, submission, you know, to an authority that, but not a state that arrogates power to itself.
Right. We need a whole government reboot, which is only going to happen if we have the gospel overcoming.
Yes, and I tell you what, we're going to talk on a future broadcast about that government reboot. Join us then on the Dean's
List. You've been listening to the Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.